well. Scripture comes from 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 37. Hallelujah. When you have it, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say things and we don't even kind of know where they came from. You know? And when the Lord placed this into my spirit, he told me, go find it. Go find it. Because you need to speak on it. And people need to hear it. We talk to people Amen. All the time and we say, good morning, how you doing? And people don't even listen to you. Because you're so used to saying good morning. They say good morning, but they don't hear you.
The fourth chapter, verses 8.
Amen. I look at people, I used to look at people and they say good morning. I say good morning, and then I say, well, how you doing? And they keep walking because they didn't hear how you're doing. We have people who say, how you doing? And you say, all is well. Sometimes people ask you, all is well? Or you say, all is well. Come on.
Amen. Pastor's Bible is the King James Version. And it reads as thus, it's 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 onto, I believe, 30-something you said? Okay. And it reads as thus, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunai, where he was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he comes to us, that he shall turn in thither. Verses 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Verse 12, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captains of host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. Verse 15, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto your handmaid. 17, and the woman conceived and bore a son. At that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. Verse 19, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. He said to a lad, carry him to his mother. 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon, and then he died. Verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. 22, and she called unto her husband, and said, send me, I pray you, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again. 23, and he said, wherefore will you go to him today. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Verse 24, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not your rider for me, except I bid you. 25, so she went and came unto the man of God to the Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he sent Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. 26, run now, I pray you, to meet her and say unto her, it is well with you. It is well with your husband. It is well with the child. And she answered it, it is well. 27, and when she came to the man of God, to the hill, and she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed with her. And the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. 28, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? 29, then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loin and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. If any salute you, answer him not again. And laid my staff upon the face of the child. 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord live, and as your soul live, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. 31, Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. And laid upon his bed. 33, he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. 34, and he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon the mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. 35, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come unto him, he said, take up your son. 37, then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you, minister. The scripture is saying that it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem. There was a notable woman there. This woman was wealthy. She had money. She was a prominent woman in this area. Amen? And it says that she persuaded him to eat some food. Now, she must have been a good cook. Amen? Because the scripture further says that now every time he came by there, that he went there. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but before you had the Popeyes and the Caribbean Connection and McDonald's and all of that stuff, when you traveled, you needed to know where you could get some good food. Amen? You would call somebody up and say, listen, I'm on my way through. Where can I get something good to eat? The prophet found a place for him to get something good to eat. Now, this woman was also pleased by him coming by. So she turns to her husband and says, you know, if we bless him and make a place that he can always come by, that he can have some place to sleep, some place to eat, I know that God is going to bless us. Amen? Amen? Listen, you bless the man of God, God blesses you. Amen? And I'm not saying that for me. I'm just saying the man of God, whoever they might be, you bless, God blesses you. Amen? The man of God doesn't necessarily have to be the person standing up here. Amen? It could be a man of God passing through that needs some help. You bless the man of God, God is going to bless you. So she said that to her husband. Amen? This woman was kind. She didn't have to be kind. She didn't let her money take her to someplace that she does, you know, her pride. You know, oh, I'm not going to take care of this traveling person. He's not going to stay at my house. Amen? When you take care of people, God takes care of you. I can go from experience because I know that my sister's sitting right there. Whoever passed through New York and they came from Tennessee or overseas, wherever, they stayed at my parents' house in New York. They got out of their beds and gave it to them. We got out of our beds. They sat at the table and ate first. We wasn't like the dogs, but we had something to eat too. But they ate first. It was the place to go. If you were going there, this is where you're going to stay. That's what they told people. But we were blessed because the men and women of God that came through, they were blessed. Amen? So in scripture, this woman is showing that if I bless the man of God, that God is going to bless us. So she was wise. Amen? So now here's Elijah. He's laying around in this comfortable room, and he's laying in this bed, and he's saying, oh, what can I do for this person who's blessing me? He calls his servant and says, give me an idea. What is it that I can do for this woman? What can I do for this family? He calls her and says, you know, if you want me to, I'll give a few words to the king. You know how you got those people who can always give somebody a few words for you? I'll talk to somebody for you. I know somebody, so I'll put in a good word for you. And she said, no, I don't need that. I got money. I got me a place. I don't need that. So he was dumbfounded as to what he could do. So when he called his servant, he says, you know, her husband is old, and they don't have any children. They don't have a son. In those days, you needed a son to take care of you if the husband died. You needed a son to represent you in business. If you didn't have a son, you didn't have nothing. Amen? He says, I noticed they don't have a son. He says, okay, I got you. He calls her in to the room, and she stands there at the door politely, as custom in those days. He says, you know, I noticed that you don't have a son. He says, but I'm going to pray to God that you have a son. And she said, now, wait a minute. Don't play me. I'm not playing no games. I didn't ask you for one, but I'm not going to deny it if you do it for me. Amen? Sometimes God will do something for you, and you want to deny it. Don't deny it. Take what God has given you. Amen? We need to learn to take what God has given to you. So she said, you know, I didn't ask for it, but since you said it, so be it. Matter of fact, he gave her a timetable. He said, within the year, you're going to have a son. And within that time period, she had that baby. Amen? You know, they were jumping and shouting. Here's another example of what the devil and the man had said, oh, this is all closed up. This will never happen for you. But God moved in there, and he said, she's going to have a son. Amen. She's going to have a baby. She's going to come through because I have the final say. She had that baby jumping and shouting. Amen. But this woman, she was obedient. She blessed the man of God. Before she told the man to come into the house, she went to her husband first. She wasn't going to make a room, and she wasn't going to spend his money without getting his okay. Amen? You want to see some tearing up and fighting folks? Spend somebody money and you ain't got there okay. Jesus is like that. He comes to our house and he knocks. You see, this man, he felt so comfortable now. He's just going there. When Jesus comes to our house and he knocks, do we make him comfortable? Do we make room for him? Do we feed him with our praise? Do we feed Jesus like this prophet was being fed? Jesus says, "Behold, I come." Because he's a gentleman. He don't just come in. Behold, I come and I knock. Amen? This man, he don't even have to knock no more. He probably sent his servant ahead, said, "I'll be there at 2:30. Just walk on in the door, because he already had the place to go sleep. Amen? I know that there's times people come knocking at my door, and I act like I ain't home. You ever did that? Miss Boone? I'm just kidding. They come knocking, calling you up. You act like you ain't home. You ever go to somebody's house and you know they're home and they act like they ain't home? They got that little peek hole. You see that little thing slide over? Come on, somebody. You know it's them Jehovah Witnesses. I don't mean to nobody. But they do come. They're persistent in what they do. I wish we could be as persistent as them. Anyway, let me just, you're right, that's a topic for another day. So what happened? The child grew up, and now he's hanging out with the dad. He's in the field, and he gets sick. He says, my head, right? And father, the father did typically what a dad kind of do sometimes. Listen, come here. Take him to his mother. That's what dads do. It's in the Bible. I didn't make this up. Take him to mama. Let him go lay on her a little while. Maybe he feel better. Right? Didn't mean anything to him that the head was hurting. My head. He probably had a sunstroke. My head. So he goes and he lays on mama. But that wasn't good enough because he died. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes we can lay on mama, but we need more than just laying on mama. Amen? So it says that he died. And what did it do? The scripture says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. She took the baby's body, and she put it in the room. She put it on the bed, the blessed bed that she had created for the prophet. And the man is sitting up there. The husband is saying, well, what? He don't even know yet. No clue. But she puts him on the bed, closes the door, and tells her husband, go get one of the servants and tell him to get me a donkey so I can go see the man of God. And he's sitting there like, well, what are you doing that for? It's not a holiday. But she didn't tell him. She didn't tell him. That is the strength that you know, I'd be boo-hooing and crying if that was my son. But she knew she could not tell him. But there's something deeper still going on. Because she never started preparing for a funeral. She had faith that if I go see the man of God, amen, if I go see him, she didn't say, get a servant and send them to the man of God. She said, I am going myself to the man of God. I'm not preparing for something that I have faith is not even going to happen. They telling me he's dead here, but right here in my soul, it's well, because I know that I have a God who has raised the dead. And my son shall not die. He's going to live. The mother guarded her lips under the affliction and the pain and the suffering of possible death of her son. No murmuring or nothing was coming from her. You know, sometimes you could tell somebody's disturbed because even though they're standing there under the lips, they're going, she mumbled nothing. He's saying, why are you going to see him today? It's not a new moon. It's not the Sabbath. He said, it's not a religious holiday. She said, it is well. It is well. Stop bothering me with the questions. Don't worry about it. It is well. I told you where I'm going. It is well. It's not like I'm sneaking behind your back. It is well. I told you I'm going to see the man of God. Her faith was so great. Amen? She saddled the donkey and said to the servant, drive and go forward. Do not slow down for me unless I tell you. When you're going somewhere with somebody, you want to try to keep pace with them. But she said, you just keep going. Don't worry about me because I'm going to be there. Sometimes we need something from the man of God. Amen? Sometimes we need something from God. Sometimes we need something from Jesus. We can't worry about the speed of somebody else. You got to step on the pedal and keep going as fast as you can. Don't worry about me. I'm going to get there. When you start praying for deliverance and relief, don't worry about the person praying with you. You pray till you get there. Because their prayers is not going to deliver you. Your prayers are going to deliver you. She knew that she couldn't send her husband. She needed to go herself. That was his son, but her baby. So when the man of God saw her from afar off, have you ever seen somebody from afar off and you knew it was them? You could tell by the way that they walk, the way they hold their head. Amen? Maybe the way they ride. Hallelujah. Maybe the way they drive. You know it's them. Hallelujah. And it could be some of the simplest things that you never thought of, that somebody recognizes that it's you. But the scripture is saying from afar off, the prophet saw the Shulamite, and he says to his servant, go out there. Here she comes. See what it is that she wants. And he goes. He's obedient. And he gets to her and he says, is everything all right with your husband? It is well. Everything all right with your son? It is well. Everything all right with you? It is well. And she keeps going. And he's trying to stop her, but she didn't answer him. She just passed him off when it is well. She did that because she did not come to see him. She didn't come to see him. He did not bless her. He's not the prophet. She needed to see the prophet. She needed to see the man who said that she was going to have that baby. She needed to see the person that she said, listen, don't play with me. Stop sending messages around. Go to that person and say, stop playing with me. Is it well with you? Get out my way. It's well. How's your husband? He's fine. How's your son? He's good. It is well. Amen. Benghazi didn't do anything. He was doing what he was told. Sometimes we do what we're told to do, and then we get offense because somebody needs to do something else, and it's not about you. He didn't get offended because it was not about him. You know when somebody is passing you by. You know when somebody is brushing you off. And every time somebody brushes you off, don't take it personal. There's another agenda that God has on the table for them. We get so offended. Just because they don't want to tell you their problems, you don't need to know. It is well. The scripture says, hallelujah. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Benghazi came to push her away. She came at the feet for a reason. She didn't come and hold his hand, but she came and grabbed onto his feet. Amen. It says, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. And the Lord has hidden from me and has not told me. Just because you're a prophet, just because you're a man of God, a woman of God, it doesn't mean that God tells you everything. He said, let her go. Whatever God got it. Told her whatever's going on in her life. God didn't warn me about it. He didn't tell me about it. So let her come and tell me, because she's a good woman. She's a woman of God. She's obedient. She blesses God and the men of God, the people of the Lord. Let her go. God wants her to tell me. She went directly to the prophet with her case. Now, when the woman met the prophet, she burst out in tears. All of a sudden, she was strong. But now that she's in front of the prophet, all of the emotions come out. Now, could you imagine if she had burst out in front of Benghazi? He would have said, oh, no, don't worry about it. It's just a woman thing. Oh, no, you're just emotional. That's because he don't know the story. He knows of the story, but he don't know the story. He would have pushed her away. He would have said, don't worry about it. Let's do this or let's do that. But God told her, go see the prophet who promised you that child. And she says, did I ask you for a son of my Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me? Sometimes you got to go right to the source. You're playing around. You're going around the bush and you're doing, you got to go right to the source. You got to push people out of the way and say, I ain't come here for you. I need to see her. And then when you see her, you tell her, didn't I tell you don't play with me? Didn't I tell you I'm not playing around? Didn't I tell you I didn't want you to hurt my heart? Didn't I tell you that? She went straight to the source. Amen. See, everything that God wants us to know, everything God wants his prophet to see, it wasn't fit for him to see until he saw the woman. And I'm going to show you furthermore why it wasn't fit for him to see it until he saw the woman. Amen. Because what she said was very pathetic, but she appealed to the prophet concerning the mercy that he showed her. Amen. She said, I didn't ask for this boy, but you said I was going to have it. I told you don't play with me. She says, I wasn't like Hannah. You know what Hannah said, right? Hannah said, Lord, give me this boy. And if you don't, I'm going to die. I just want to die. I just want to roll over and die. She didn't say that. She said, you gave this to me. I told you don't. So he turns around and he tells his servant, here, he says, here, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go take my staff. Here, take my staff. I want you to go where he's at. And I want you to just kind of like just lay it on him. Just go lay it on him. This staff represented religion. It represented a ceremony. You see, when a religion or a ceremony comes up against death, it ain't gonna win. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. You're going to ceremonies. Ceremonies don't deliver nobody. Religion don't deliver nobody. But the Spirit of the living God. Benghazi being obedient, he left. He tells her, come on. But he left. Amen. And he went. And he laid it on the boy. But let me tell you what she said. She said, I ain't going nowhere. You going with me. I am not going anywhere. You're coming with me. He listened. He was obedient. She said, I'm not going. Let me read the scripture to you. And the mother of the child said, as long as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, in other words, they're talking about living, they're talking about dying too, right? Over my dead body, I'm leaving without you. I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now, Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet them and told them, the child has not awakened. So what does that say to me? That says he did it. Ain't nothing happened. He's on his way back. Because he met them on the way there. They're going there, and he's on his way back already. He gave up already. He said, I don't hear nothing. I don't see nothing. They ain't nothing. Amen? But let me tell you what this woman also knew. She knew that there was a prophet before him that raised another boy from the dead. And when he raised that boy from the dead, he laid across him. Amen? And got up and laid across him again. And then got up and laid across him again. Amen? Stretching himself over that child. Amen? So the scripture tells me that when Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore shut the door behind the two of them. There's a reason why he shut the door. Because sometimes we need to shut the door and shut some people out. When we're getting ready to talk to the Most High, when we're getting ready to pray for some things that we got to be doing. He told the mother, now it's my time, stay outside. He told Benghazi, stay outside. It's between me, him, and the Lord. You need to tell some people it's between me, him, and the Lord. Stay outside the door. I'll call you when I'm ready. I'll call you when the Lord is done. It says, and he went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He didn't need to hear no voice. He didn't even need to see the eyes. He felt the body getting warm. Sometimes we're waiting for the voice, but the temperature is rising. All he did was feel the temperatures rising, and he knew that the Lord was working on their behalf. We're waiting to hear something, and the Lord is changing up, charging up, warming up the atmosphere for us. You have to know the presence of the Lord. What you're looking for might not be the way that he sends it to you. They say that the way that he conducted himself toward this dead child symbolizes what Jesus had to do. Jesus couldn't just declare and decree everybody's free. He had to get down dirty with us, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand, as one with man, in order for us to be delivered. He had to become one with us. The prophet became one with this dead child. Amen? And it says that when he stretched himself upon him, the child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Oh, hallelujah. He sneezed 7 times. 7, the number of completion. Hallelujah. 7, the number of days in the week. He completed everything in 7 days. Hallelujah. And then he said, he called Gehazi, and he said, call this Shulamite woman. So he called her, and when she came, and he said, pick up your son. And then she fell at his feet again. Hallelujah. And bowed to the ground. Hallelujah. And she picked up her son, and she went out. You're saying, well, Pastor, what you preaching this for? Because this is the kind of conviction that we need in our lives. We need to know that we can go to hell and God can pick us back up out of there. They can call us dead, but God can make us alive again. That the Spirit of the living God comes down to our level. Because we're at some low levels here. So low that you're so deep below the curve. But God will go down in that level, the Spirit of the living God, and pick you up out of wherever it is that you're at. Oh, hallelujah. He gets us to breathe again. We don't have to wait for his voice. We don't wait to have to hear him. Oh, we don't have to just see him. We just got to feel him. This woman, with her limited knowledge, well, she didn't know scripture. She wasn't pounding off scripture, but she knew God. She didn't have a PhD, a DM, a bachelor's, but she knew God. She didn't need the doctor to tell her what can or can't happen, because she knew God. She knew that God had did it before, and he can do it again. See, she knew God. No matter what the circumstances were, she knew God. When she should have been crying and hysterical and emotional, she kept her lips shut because she knew God. Sometimes we go through situations and we're so busy telling everybody about things, talking about this, screaming and hollering. But when you know God, you can shut up and have the faith and know that God is going to come through for you. See, when you know God, you can say this: neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That word creature comes from creation. So any other thing outside of God is creation and it's made. So there's nothing in creation that can separate us from God. Absolutely nothing. Amen? So when things happen in your life, if you believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God, when you go through something and the enemy wants to harass you and see how you're doing, just say it is well. Because he wants to antagonize you. He wants to harass you. He wants to bother you. And you just look at him and say, devil, it is well. Because you know who you serve. You know who you're a child of. It is well. Let us stand this morning.